Monday, November 28. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to return once again to the Respect for Marriage Act. Today's podcast is not so much about the bill itself, but how people are approaching this type of legislation. And I want to take you to two articles. The first article was written by David French, who is a writer, an attorney, a public intellect. He wrote in The Atlantic about 2 weeks ago, "Pluralism has life left in it. The Respect for Marriage Act and the harmony between religious liberty and LGBTQ plus rights." In response to that, Al Mohler writes, "The parable of David French. This is how conservatism dies. This is how marriage is surrendered."
Tom, what Al Mohler is responding to is the trajectory of David French, who wrote on these issues back in 2004 and then confessedly changed his mind. And then now his what I call libertarian convictions are coming out, that what he values about America is a constitution that allows pluralism. Now, pluralism has historically meant that everyone has a right to believe what they want to. But pluralism has not meant that just because people believe it, that it's right, or that it needs to be enshrined into the law of the land. Now, David French now says, this is a model piece of legislation. It allows for homosexuals to have the benefits of marriage and family, which they have the right to do. That would include a definition of marriage that declares a civil union called marriage by same-sex couples. This respect for marriage is good from his perspective because it embraces pluralism as expressed by defining the rights of same-sex couples to have a marriage that is recognized by civil law, and he declares that's what's good, and that's the great thing about America, because we can function to embrace pluralism. And David French says this is great because it codifies religious liberty and says to the government that you cannot threaten the tax-exempt status of religious organizations who, by conviction, will not participate or make their facilities available to support same-sex marriage. Well, the promises of protecting religious liberty are extremely vague in the Respect for Marriage Act. Secondly, it leaves the individual Christian vulnerable in terms of their free practice of religion, whether they're bakers, website designers, or whatever. Thirdly, there is no penalty when the government brings its resources or when other institutions bring their resources in litigation against religious entities who will then be spending literally millions of dollars to defend their religious liberty, and those who bring it, including the government, have no penalty for such frivolous lawsuits. And whenever you have a law that you need to pass a law for religious liberty, that tells you there's a problem, because we already have something called the Bill of Rights. And if you've got to augment the Bill of Rights, now you know the law that's being passed is a treacherous law. And David French and his Atlantic Journal article becomes something that Dr. Mohler identifies as a parable of how Christian conservatism is tamed by a progressive secular culture. And I would simply refer to what I have said in the past, that progressive Christianity, in its effort to be applauded by the culture, will accommodate the culture. And here is an example of a progressive Christianity article in which our language is used, but our dictionary of definition theologically is not being used. Let me also respond to something. Well, why are you so concerned about tax-exempt status? Listen, the reason tax-exempt status is there for churches and religious organizations is not for governmental support. It's the fact that the government, when it taxes something, will inevitably control something. And if a religious organization loses tax-exempt status, the problem is not the initial money of the tax. The problem is now the supremacy of the government with all of its institutions of power now is brought to bear upon that entity, and you have lost religious freedom. Finally, you can see again how progressive Christianity accommodates the progressive secular movement and becomes its handmaiden, as here is an article written by a professing evangelical, but clearly within the progressive camp. And how do you know that? Because the writer of the article is willing to accept a definition of marriage that God calls an abomination. Same-sex marriage is a fabrication. It is not a marriage by definition. And thus we see again where progressive Christianity will use the vocabulary of Christianity, but it doesn't have the dictionary, as here is an article that is ready to make acceptable and normalize a fabricated definition of marriage called same-sex marriage, and therefore this article is anything but respect for marriage. It is the deconstruction of marriage, and that means it leads to the deconstruction of a civilization.
Harry, you talk about the redefinition of words. David French depends upon the word pluralism in his article, yet Webster defines pluralism as a condition or system in which two or more states, groups, principles, sources of authority coexist. At the same time, David French acknowledges what you just said, that when you look to the private sector, the Respect for Marriage Act does not address the conflict between the First Amendment rights for-profit businesses and the Respect for Marriage Act. There is a case coming before the Supreme Court that will address the Christian web designers' free speech rights in Colorado's public accommodation statute.
Well, I am very grateful for the bulwark that sanity has brought to our Supreme Court, at least to this moment. You cannot depend on a nation's ability to maintain law by the umpires of the law, which are the judges. You've got to pass laws that are right. Respect for marriage is not a right law. And the notion that Mr. French brings that we can depend on the Supreme Court to bring sanity to the respect for marriage law, what do you do after one presidential election and three Supreme Court appointees go the other direction? Mr. French, in his libertarian philosophy, he has now taken on a notion that America exists to be a clinic of pluralism. It was not. America was covenanted around a document called the Constitution of these United States. What we built in was the right of conscience and the right of free speech. So you can contend publicly for your belief in same-sex marriage, but pluralism is not declaring right what everyone has a right to believe. It is declaring what is right. Therefore, our Constitution was built upon a theistic foundation of transcendent values. That's why four times the Lord is referenced in the Constitution. And that's why the Declaration of Independence declared the country was built upon God-given, revealed in nature, inalienable rights. Tom, once you have declared pluralism, the right to believe something, as an obligation of the state to declare right what you believe, now you have lost all semblance of order and the foundations of a nation. The two obvious here are marriage and religious liberty. You cannot have a culture built upon pluralism. Your culture has to be built upon a theistic world and life view with transcendent truths.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today and perspective.